Sunday, Chof Hei Tishri, Rabbi Mordechai Nissim, Be'inyans, Bereishis, and Good Midas.
A good Vach. I'm sure you'll share with me this, the problem that we have after all the singing and dancing and of using our voices. It brings bring up. I feel my voice is like a piano keyboard, with some keys are stuck in the middle. If I go a certain voice, it comes out. Lower voice doesn't come out. From all the singing and the simcha. The truth is, it's only last night that I was reminded that I'm speaking today. So I was thinking what would be most appropriate. We finished Yisru Chag, we finished the Chagim, the Moed, and we started Sefer Bereishis. There's a shaila asked by a lot of Achronim, which is, where do we find in the Torah a reference to Midas, a good Midas Toivus? Where do we find in the Torah that there's a tzivir, a commandment or a requirement for a Yid to have good Midas? So some have given the answer that the whole Sefer Bereishis is called Sefer HaYashar. The whole Sefer Bereishis is an encyclopedia, a guidebook of how a person should have Midas Toivus. Today is the yahrzeit of the Kedushas Levi as well. This will be something about the Shev. And so it's appropriate to speak about good Midas. We usually think of Midas as a good thing to do, to have. In the Sfarim of Kedoshim, it describes that Midas Tovus are the Hecha Timsa, they are the way that a person fulfills Tariag Mitzvahs. We've got 630 Mitzvahs in the Torah, and there's a requirement for every Jew to be a holy person. Sometimes we forget that the purpose of coming in the world, we know it's to learn Torah and keep mitzvahs. But aside from that, the real agenda which the Chazal tell us that we have to strive for in life is to become a holy person. Becoming a holy person isn't something that happens overnight, and isn't something that you just do it once and it's like you came at an action and it happens. But rather it's a lifetime's project to make sure that every day we're going in that direction. So I want to spend some time talking about how to understand what are midos, how to become holy, etc. And Mr. Shem, we should be able to fulfill it. In the writings of the Arizal, there's a sefer called Shah Kedusha, which was written by Rav Chaim Vital, and it's a guidebook of how to become holy. In fact, Sefer Mesilat Yesharim is based on this sefer. Sefer Mesilat Yesharim is the brayse of Rabbi Pinchas Ben Yair. And as it goes through all the different levels that we go through in life, right, from Zahiras to Zahirizas, etc., and hopefully it's going to finish in a minute. Much more to go?
Sorry.
Okay. Sefer Mesilat Yesharim is a development, a personal development of a person to reach eventually the high levels, which are Kedusha and Anava. It's a different guesses which way it goes, and eventually they'll come to higher levels of serving Hashem. The truth is, in the Braisa, it carries on after Kedusha. Kedusha brings a person to, it says, Ruach HaKodesh, and from Ruach HaKodesh then to Tchias HaMeiti. That's what it says in the Braisa. But the Sefer Mesilat Yesharim stops at Kedusha, doesn't go further beyond that. But in Shari Kedusha, the Rav Chaim Vital explains the different mechanisms that Kedusha Baruch Hu gave us how to reach Ruach HaKodesh. Each person in every generation, he says in the Tanna Devei Eliyahu, that it says even a non-Jewish person, even an Eved or a Shifta who's not even Jewish, through certain mechanisms they can reach Ruach HaKodesh, right, in a good way, not necessarily bad. Not talking about bad, the bad side, the good side. And the various different ways of doing it. There's ways of learning Torah, like there's a malach that comes, a magid, like the Beis Yosef and the magid Misharim, and the malach that spoke to him. There are different ways of Kabbalistic ways of reaching high levels from meditations. But the one that's described that everyone should do, that even the non-Jew can do and reach levels of Kedusha, is by Tikkun HaMidos. If a person repairs their character traits day after day after day after day, works on them, eventually they can refine their character traits so much, it becomes so accurate, they become synchronized with the Shekhinah. They become synchronized with the Shekhinah. A person can then feel and sense what's right from what's wrong, to the degree that they can see the accuracy of what's right in the world. And through that they can have Ruach HaKodesh. And that's the goal, really, of every human being, every Jew for sure from the Torah. So that Kodesh Baruch Hu gave us the Torah. Just when he gives it to us, he says, because I'm giving it to you, that you should be Amos Tzvulah V'Goy Kadosh. You should be a holy nation. So we should all have an agenda constantly to work to reach holiness. So how do we do it? So the Shara Kedusha explains like this, and in the Sefer Nesiv Shalom, the Snanim Rebbe describes how what's written here in Shara Kedusha, what we're going to describe, is the halacha lemaisa, of Musa. Meaning, if we follow this recipe that he's about to describe, that is, according to all the Baalei Musar, all the Sifrei Chasidus, everything you can digest, it's almost like a halacha journal of how to reach it. So how does it work? So we have the guf, we have the body. When Adam Rishon was created, we'll go a little bit maybe deeper with it. When he was created, it wasn't in our world. If we can now stop, I mean, it's been 10 minutes now, we've got to stop. I need to move on. I can't hear myself think. Okay. Carry on in about 20 minutes. Come back. So in Shai Kedusha describes the connection of the guf, the body, with the neshama, with the soul, and where the midas interact. And that's what I want to try and spend a moment talking about, and the midas that will help us to perfect our ways. So the guf is the body, and the neshama is the soul. And in between, there are different levels that were created. When Adam Rishon was originally created, he wasn't created in the physical world that we have today. There's a sefer called Sefer HaBrit, which Mamish goes into details, intricate details, of how the order of the creation of the guf was, and the neshama, and different parts of the neshama, different worlds, and it's a lot of Kabbalah, obviously, but it's a sefer which is a very, very holy sefer, and it's very kedai to, one's got time to go and understand it, but we're just going to take little ideas from it to understand the general picture. When Adam Rishon was created, his guf was from the Afar Gan Eden, which means it was above this world, where the Beis HaMikdash is, to go to the Kodesh HaKodashim. There's a level there which goes slightly above our physical world, which is the Kodesh Kodashim, and which is called the level of the Yisod. You go to the level of the Bina, that's where the Guf of Adam Rishon was. That was called Afar Gan Eden, which created many understand that it's actually something which is suspended in Shemaim from our physical world. There's a place where really Adam Rishon existed, and that's where his Guf came from. It wasn't something physical, it wasn't from the elements. If you remember in school, you learned about chemistry, the periodic table had no elements, had no carbon or lead or anything like that. It was something above the physical world that we know today, which is the Kadur Ha'aretz Atevel. That's where his guf was from. So we're talking about Adam Rishon's guf. We're not talking about something physical like we know today from our world. Now, he lost that guf when he sinned, and that guf went into the klippas. We understand the idea of the klippas, the evil side. And with it, there was all kinds of levushim, which are like garments, spiritual garments, that went down with it, together with parts of his neshama. Right? If you're almost sure if you've learned Hasidus, some of you will be familiar with the idea of the Rafach Nitzatzin, 280 sparks, that went down into this unholy place. And every mitzvah which we do, and all the Sifrei Kedoshim, describe how we elevate these sparks. And what we're actually doing is bringing them back. And when we're attacking each day, if you read this writing to the Ramchal, also goes into some detail how time was created, so between one mitzvah and another mitzvah, because each mitzvah is like a tikkun, and every time we do it, we're fixing something. Now Rav Dessler writes that when the Torah was originally given on Har Sinai, and Klal Yisrael reached the level of Adam HaRishon before he sinned, almost Kiyul at that level in Gan Eden, so didn't anymore need to do Tikkun HaMidos because everything was fixed. All they needed to do then was to study Torah Lishma for the sake of understanding Torah, because Bar Tabam, there's no requirement to use the Torah for anything else other than just to study Torah, which is the highest level of learning Torah. However, after they sinned again with the Chet HaEgel, so they went back to the level of the Kilkul, which means we have to now use the Torah, as Rav Dessler writes in Shavuos, if you want to understand it in more expanded, that we use the Torah as a Sam HaChaim. That it's a way, it's every time we learn a piece of Torah, we connect to the Shekhinah, and it has an effect on our nefesh, on our guf, everything, the way we think. So we're fixing our midot as well. And that's the idea of Musa coming from the Torah. Right, Nefesh HaChaim goes in depth in the Shaar Dalet, explaining how there was a time you could learn Gemara and that was enough. You get the Tikkun HaMidos from that. In fact, to learn Musa in the middle of learning Gemara is like stealing from the Gemara, and you're not allowed to do it. You just need to do it a little bit to preserve the learning. That person should just learn Torah, and then we'll go to the Tabura. So the Rosh Hashanah Kadosh and these holy Sfarim describe if a person learns Torah and keeps Midas, and it's coming from a good place, and describe in a second what that means. Then the Torah, the Gemara says in Kiddushin, is Sam HaChaim. His the Torah will bring him to have better midot, and slowly, slowly he'll fix up whatever the kilkul was, which we're going to describe. If a person just studies Torah, doesn't work on the midas toivas, then eventually the Torah learning itself, which he's learning, will lead him, chas v'shalom, to become Sam Hamamavet. And it will lead him to Tabur. It's like it's described in Chazal as Nezer Zahab Be'Av Chazir. It's like a golden jewel in the nose ring, like a jewelry of a Chazir. Yeah? So how does it work? It's described like this, that when a person studies Torah, it has effect of studying Torah Lishma, but also Tikkun Amidot. That's how Rav Jester describes it. So all the time of studying Torah, it's affecting Amidot. That means there's a certain place where a certain part of our makeup is being fixed. So the way it's described in the writings of the Rizal is like this, if I've understood it correctly from my teachers. That when Adam HaRishon sinned, it went down into the Klipot, his guf, his spiritual guf, which we explained wasn't from this world, together with all sorts of garments, the levushin, which Chazal called the chashmal, which means it's a kind of a levush which the neshama goes inside before it goes inside the guf. And that levush, he lost that. That was the levush was called ketonet or with an aleph. It was a light, it was shining light. And he went into the klipot, he lost it, right? And HaKadosh Baruch Hu fixed him another or, which goes around our physical guf of today, which is called ketonet or with an iron. Yeah, and there, somewhere in these two places is where the midot, tovot and ra'ot, which I'm going to explain in a second. Okay, for example, we have nails which remain, say the tippur 9, represent the original ketonet or of aleph, which is why you see it's underneath the skin. To tell us that it was underneath his guf, there was a guf, then there was this levush, and then there was a neshama inside of that. And he lost it. So it's described that there's two of these types of levushim where the Yetzer Hara operates. So there's more than one Yetzer Hara. When we talk about the Yetzer Hara, Rishas Salam describes this also in depth. He asks a Shaila in Israel, where exactly is the Yetzer Hara? What is the Yetzer Hara? Is it part of me? Or is it something external like a malach? So in Sefer Eschayim, the Arizal says quite clearly that the Yetzer Hara is a malach. It's outside of us. It's not who we are. Our essence is not the Yetzer Hara. But we have to operate in two places where these midot torah, we might talk about midot tovos and mitzvahs, where they operate. In other words, there's the guf which was made of oil, which used to be from Adam HaRishon himself, which he lost and he went down into the klipot. And then we've got one which exists around us, where we are. Now, after he sinned and he lost that levush and his guf, right? So he then was put into this world. So it's described, right, that the elements in this world, which we talked about before, the periodic table, yeah, the world is made up with four elements. Esh, Ruach, Maim, Afar. Right, there's earth, wind and fire, and water. And each one is a composite part of the physical world. And our guf that we have today, our skin, etc., comes from these four elements. So in Shara Kedusha, the Arizal, the Chaim Vita explains how all the bad midas can be categorized into these four elements. Now, why is that? Because our guf now, right, comes from the physical world. It's not the original guf that Adam HaRishon used to have. And all the bad midas that we are born with, naturally, is given to us when we're born. It's not something we have a free choice with. We're born come in the world already with a natural teva. It comes from these four elements. This is the new levush and the guf which Adam Rosh was given after he sinned that we all still have today. But every time we do a mitzvah, right, we have the koach to bring back and return ma'ale a chelek of the original guf that Adam Rosh used to have, which was made of a light, much more holy, obviously. And then we fix it and put it in Shemayim, back to where it was used to be above the base of Mikdash. Right? That's all the references that I needed to make to understand the Inyan. Which means there's two avoiders going on. One avoider is to bring back all these holy sparks every time we do a mitzvah. And that is done through Torah mitzvahs. And that's something very lofty outside of this world. We don't have to have kavanah for it. We just know that this is what's going on every time we do a mitzvah. You know the famous stories about the Chafetz Chaim. Every time you mitzvah, you're throwing a pearl in Shemayim. You're building up a kind of a garment that you're going to wear in Olam Haba. It's all true. That's exactly, there's described as actually physical, not physical, but you know, a reality that's really happening every time you do a mitzvah. But the Midas Tovas and the Midas Raos is in this place which is called the Klipas Noga. It's a bit good and it's a bit bad. And it's this levush that Hashem gave us after Adam Rishon sinned. And this levush we have, something's called the nefesh habehemis, right? In this nefesh which exists, right? Even goyim have it. It comes from the four bad elements which are in the physical world. Each one could be good or it could be bad. And so it goes into more depth. They describe as follows. Each one is a type of a kind of a bad midah. So we start going through them. Earth. Earth is afar. Afar is a person has an inertia, or he's lazy, an atzlus, not to do mitzvahs. That's the most, you know, the physical, the most achur, in English, I say dense. There's a sort of density that a person can't move themselves to do things in life. They eventually can become depressed and not get out of bed. As doctors would say that you can describe depression as helplessness. A person can't get themselves, they need someone else to come out and help them. that bad midah comes from the influence of the afar, of the earth. That means in our guf, we have a certain amount of dust, earth, which was put into us. And that influence into that naturally, when we come into the world, each person to a different midah, there's a certain amount of atzis that we have. Right? Then we go weiter. Then there's maim. Maim is water. Maim goes against the bad midah of tivers. Water flows this way, that way. That's quite described in depth in Shari Kedusha, how every time a person has a tither for something, it's coming from the element of the liquid which is inside their guf, which influences that way. And all this comes from that guf that Adam Rishon was put in when after he sinned, that we're in this physical world. Yeah. Then you've got ruach. Ruach is a bad midah of speaking. Not necessarily lashon hara. It's not good to speak too much. Person should be very. Person who controls his speech is got much great level of self control over bad midas. It's a way of being koine control in kedusha. We know the Ramban describes in Parshas Kedoshim how a person could keep all the Torah, all the mitzvahs to the nth degree, black kosher, base yosef meat, 100%. And he's Navel Bishut HaTorah because he goes up to the line and he doesn't cross the line, but he's on the line and there's no necessarily holiness. The Chidah describes he came to, he traveled around the whole world and he came to a community and he saw the Rav, the way that he ate food, like he was so much in Mislayev, he was so excited about eating food and he ate so much like a glutton. He says, all the mitzvahs which this Rav does all goes to the Sitra Achra. It's not going from the Kedusha at all because he's got no plan to become holy. This was the Chidah who described this. Yeah, if a person, sometimes it says it's on Shabbos, you should eat whatever you want. Right, it all goes to the good side. That's also a bit of a mistake. That's describing that during the week we make tikkunim and we would take the good from the bad and we bring it back home, like we described from these klipot. Right, so on Shabbat that doesn't happen because the whole day is holy. We're only in a holy place. During the week we go down into this unholy place and we do all the Torah mitzvahs and we fix them. On Shabbat we don't go down to that place. So however we eat is all kedusha. But it doesn't mean if a person does that, they won't become greedy, or that they won't become overweight, or they won't become lose control over bad midas. That all still happens even on Shabbos. It's only saying that you can eat as much food as you want and it won't affect you in a negative way. However, tzadik ochel nesov nafsho, if a person will eat beyond what they need for their kiyum during the week, then all that energy which comes from the food, which is extra, goes to fuel up the yetzer hara. And the Yetzer will operate one of the four things we mentioned. So we mentioned earth, we mentioned water, and we mentioned ruach, speaking too much. And the last one is esh. Esh is anger, gaiva, and kavod. Fires up, person gets all fired up about something. And that's the most difficult one. Obviously, also the Chachamim say that the antidote to that is humility, which is anava, which is the atara, the crown of all the midas. So we can see from here that the midas, Tovus or Ra'os, are not just a good thing to do. Without them, we cannot fix our tikkun, our purpose in the world. In fact, he goes on to explain Rav Chaim Vital in Shari Kedusha, and this Lonomer Rebbe describes this in his Sefer in Nesiva Shalom, that when a person does a mitzvah, so we do an action with our bodies. Now, this body now we described is in these four bad midot, in these four bad elements of creation. That's where we operate. And there's a yetzer hara there that's pulling us in each one of these four categories away from becoming holy. That's where the midot are, the good and the bad midot are. And if we then succeed in being ma'agiz a yetzer atov over the yetzer hara, the Gemara says in Kedushin, if you're familiar with the Kedushin, scribes, ya'giz adam yetzer atov a yetzer hara. That person should be margis, which means you should push your good side over the bad side. So then a person will be kaifer all the midas toivas against the midas ra'os, and they can bring back and their midas to the good side, and then do mitzvahs, and then the mitzvahs will fix that guf that we mentioned about Adam Arishon, and everything will be fixed up again, slowly, slowly, and we go through this world, and we all return to what Adam Arishon was before. That's how the Torah mitzvahs work. The Torah mitzvahs work on that high level, the midas, Torahs, and Raos work in this sort of klippa side, which we're working in, okay? So now, he describes that a person, the connection between the guf and the neshama, is through this sort of complex thing that we just mentioned. So to simplify it, every time we do a mitzvah with our guf, with our body, we are connecting to our neshama through the midas, tovus, and ra'os in the way we just described. So if a person will not have a single good midah, even if they do the greatest mitzvah physically, the most mehudu tefillin, the most mehudu abominim that you've ever seen, the best hashrog you can ever imagine, right? And they're doing this physical action without the midas toivas that they have, that they're working on in their life, it will have no effect on their neshama. Yeah? But if we can just hold on to that for a second. When a person understands the level of a human being in the world, and the Jewish people keeping the Torah mitzvahs, and the spiritual level, we have a neshama which is above that, the nefesh behemis that we described. It's called a nefesh yesodis, which is even higher than that. Where, for example, a person on Yom Tov, does simchas Yom Tov, and they have a piece of meat, masa shlamim, or yain, and they're really doing the mitzvah of Yom Tov, like it's the kitikuna, like it's meant to be. There's a certain part of the neshama that enjoys the physical pleasure of the guf. Person goes to a restaurant for a good a simcha, and they're even a piece of meat, and they're really enjoying it. The lowest, most physical type of level of the neshama is enjoying that. It's a very low level of the neshama because it's coming from physical pleasure. But a non-Jew doesn't have that. A goy doesn't have that. A goy, they're takua in the nefesh behemis, which is only to do with the physical world. Okay, so I wanted to mention that. Now, when a Jew keeps the mitzvahs and Torahs, we elevate the whole world. So in the same way that our human being runs this physical planet, you don't see dolphins or, you know, higher types of animals like monkeys and apes or whatever flying around in planes or using phones or having armies that are conquering the world. We know that the human being is in control of the planet. In the same way that the human being is in control of the lower worlds, like Hashem is in the pasuk, we just read it yesterday, because Baruch Hu was worried, Zadiv Adam Arishon, in the Elyonim, Rashi says, so he took him out, put him out of Gan Eden, put him in the physical world, which he calls Diras Tachtonim, put him over there, and so he wouldn't corrupt what was above. Yeah, I'm talking about, there's a pasuk that says, because Baruch Hu said, that if Adam now has eaten, he's become Kemo Elohim. It says like Elohim. It says, and he's going to go and corrupt the world. So I better take him out. So Rashi says, because he's like Elohim, that he can build the universes. He's Yotzer Olamot. That's what Rashi says. What's the pshat? A human being can be Yotzer Olamot. I was just thinking yesterday. Perfect example is the internet. Right? It's a creation of man. That is a complete waste of time, a corruption of good and bad, all confused together. Even if there's any good in it, the only way you can ever get to it is through going through the filth. There's no other way to get to it. Right? And it's a big confusion. It was created for a good reason, for military or whatever, but it's complete chorban. A person can be, it's a sea of absolute waste, you know, and there you can't get out of it. It's a quicksand. It's a tita yavan. Right? And it's a creation. It's a world. It's a whole world, you know? That's the idea of it. So this is what Adam Rishon reached after he sinned. He became into Tov Ra, was mixed all the good and bad together until there was a big sea of confusion. So Hashem was worried to that it would corrupt the higher worlds, so he put it down in the lower worlds. Okay? So that's where the human being operates. But in the higher worlds, where the Malachim are, in the lower worlds we control the animals. In the higher worlds, the Jews, Neshama, controls all the Malachim. Every time we do a mitzvah, the effect of the mitzvah, if we're successful through midas toivas that we mentioned before, that it can make an effect, a pula, on our neshama, then our neshama will control the higher worlds, and that's why all the brachas of shachris. If you look at the Sefer Derech Hashem at the end, it talks about shachris and how it works. Every time we start davening, and we've got our tefillin on, etc., and we're doing all the mitzvahs Hashem that we're supposed to do, the effect of the guf through our midas tovas then opens doors to the malachim, can say kaddish, 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 and they can sing shira, and which means the medrash says that every time en makeh gadel, there's not a single blade of any herb or grass that can grow until the malach hits it makeh and says gadel, which we translate into everyday terms. It means every time we dive in shachris, to whatever degree I'm affecting those parts of the creation that got corrupted by Adam Rishon that we are now fixing, every time I dub in Shachris, I'm opening up gates in Shemayim, mm-hmm, and giving the Malachim the ability to bring Bracha and Shefa into the world. Which means, if I want dub in Shachris as much as I should, with the right Kavana, as early as possible, with the right words, and to say the words with Kitikunam, you know, slowly and word for word, so the Malachim won't be able to bring Bracha into the stock exchange, into Holborn, into the city, into grazing roads, or whatever's going on in London, or the Bursa in Eretz Israel, right? All gets stopped because the Malachim are ready to go, open the tap, let the bracha come pouring in. But there's a problem over here, because this Yid who's in the world at this point, who's given this chelek to for today, hasn't opened the tap, because he didn't wear his tefillin, because he didn't daven shachris, because he didn't say kaddish, kaddish, kaddish. So Malachim are stuck, they can't move forward. Yes, there's a whole process over here that every time we do a mitzvah, through our midas, And through the mitzvah itself, we're fixing up the world. And really, if we wouldn't do it, then there would be no bracha in the world. And we find this throughout the Torah. So sometimes I understand a new way, maybe, or a different alternative, slightly different way to understand how we're making a difference in the world. In Parashat Bechukotai, it says, "In Bechukotai Telechu, Tishmor Vasitem Otam." So the Medrash Rabbah says that, then it says, goes on to say, "Benatati Gishmechem Beitam, I will give the rains in its time. You keep the mitzvahs, and the rains will come in its time." The Medrash Rabbah says, every time a Jew keeps a mitzvah Torah and he learns it properly, he's amelim b'Torah, as Rashi says, then the rains come down. So there'll come a time where the goyim will realize this. That's what the Medrash says. The goyim will realize this, and they'll hold literally a gun to every Jew and say, "You sit down and learn in Kollel, right? We will support your Kolleling. We want bracha. You know, Farmer Joe wants to make sure his crops are going to grow. So what does he do? He says to the Jews, sit down and learn Torah, because if you take your head out of the Gemara, there'll be no rain and there'll be no crops. I need you to do that." Here they will realize it. We need to realize it right now. So every time we're doing Torah mitzvahs, we really are bringing bracha into the world. So Chaim Vital says, "Lu yitzu, if it would be that a Jew, a Yid, would have no business tovus whatsoever, what would happen?" So he'll do the master pu'ula, the action. Imagine you're wearing tefillin. So we wear tefillin, we wrap it around, right? It's like some kind of salsa dancing. It goes like this, and he does some kind of dancing. But that's all it is, just winding around. He hasn't done more than that. It doesn't affect his neshama, because there's no good middos. The good middos are the conduit to connect it. Lemashal, imagine you went past somebody who's working in an office, typing away on his keyboard, clicking his mouse. Blah, 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 blah. And as you go past the screen, as you go by, you see, the thing's off. It's not even on. There's no power in the circuit. The whole machine is off. He's just clicking on his keyboard like a monkey. So you say, "He's a mashegana. What's he doing? He's not doing anything. The screen is off. There's nothing going on." That is exactly the mashal that we can use to understand what Rav Chaim Vital is describing of a person who does a mitzvah that's got no kedusha whatsoever. Obviously, everybody, relatively to who they are, will be having good midas somewhere, some kind of chesed. So, what I want to finish by saying, in all Yisrael, Rav Yisrael describes the list of all, or taken from there, he didn't actually write it in the Sefer, of how many midas are there? Sach HaKol. There's only 11 midas in his system. According to Rav Chaim Vital, all the four Shorashim are only four. We mentioned Atzlus is Afar, Maim is Tivers, right? Then you've got Dibur speaking too much, which is Ruach. And then you got Esh, which is Kavod and Gava and what did I say? Kas. Not that much. And this is what's stopping us from finishing, you know, our job as becoming holy and fixing up the world. So it's so important for us to work on those middos. We think, "Oh, middos, there are so many. When I start, when I finish." It's very easy to take one at a time and work on it. Instead of cheshbon and nefesh, we actually go through charts every day to work on it, to make a difference in our life, that we're improving it on it all the time. So Mr. Shem, we can just conclude what we said today, that the middos, tovus and raos are in a place between the body, the guf, and the neshama. And when we keep a mitzvah, every time we do it, we're, there's a certain levush that we have, that every time we are kind of midah tova, it becomes stronger against the bad side. I'll just add one little point to that. The Rosh Hashanah therefore describes, if a person will not be oisek in midas tovas, they won't be working against their tivas all the time, working against their ka'as all the time, against their kavod. Let's give you an example. Let's say the greatest Rosh Hashiva that we know walks in through the door, right? And he walks into a new place, and maybe he'll be recognized, maybe he won't be recognized. Obviously, if he's such a big tzaddik, he'll probably go to the back and pretend that he's not incognito. But when he walks in, he might be thinking, if they see me, will they put me in the mizrach? Will they put me to sit in the front or not? He might be thinking that. Now, if he walks in the room, he knows more about anava and humility than anybody else in the room. He's on the highest level. But when he walks in, he's now being challenged with a gaiva problem. There's no one in the whole world that's not being challenged in these shorashim that we described. His challenge is on a much higher level, but he now has a gaiva issue which he came in the world to mitaken. What should he do in that situation? The halacha says maybe he should just go to the front and sit in the front, because he's a rav, and he has to get covered with Torah. On the other hand, personally, it'll be better for his right if he didn't do that. So our midas, we're working on them all the time. If we don't do that, chas v'shalom, Rabbi said, it's very important. If we don't do that, the Torah, the Kedusha, ha'or sheba, which is supposed to be machzirah le'mutav, as Ram Chal describes it, supposed to make us better human beings. If we don't succeed in making our midas better, it has a reverse effect. Now, as a sama mavet, which means a person eventually all the Torah they learn will be lolishma, and it will bring them to tabur rachas v'shalom. They'll go off the derech and will hear terrible things about such a Tamid Chacham, that this, that, and the other. That's how it happens. That's how it's described by Chazal, and it's always been that way. It's not a new thing. Somebody who's not connected to growing in Kedusha, Chas v'Shalom, it will go the other way. So it's very important that we work, we Isaac in Midas Tovas, to become a holy nation, a holy person, and that we fulfill the mitzvahs, with Kedusha V'Tara, to the greatest degree that we can, and then show in that way, we not only fix ourselves up, which should not be the main reason is to take the Shekhinah out of Galus, and to build up the Kedusha of the Klal Yisrael, should be a holy nation, and affect other people to always go up to higher standards in Mitzvah Hashem, so that we also should then become greater people and fulfill our role in the world. Amen. Ken Yosef.